Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to play this audio for you guys to begin the 3 o'clock hour. This is the best sports talk host in Kansas City, according to Pitch Magazine, dear friend of the show, Bob Fesco. And earlier today on his show, he had a report on why the Chiefs did not go grab Breece Hall for the Jets. Here's Fesco.
So they kind of have on their ledger where they're going to be next year when it comes to the money that they're going to spend, including projected extensions for Trent McDuffie and Rashee Rice. And so they're looking at the number that they're going to have spent next year. They're looking at the money that is afforded to them by the owner. They're looking at money with the salary cap, and they're saying, okay, we're going to pay these two guys who are very, no pun intended, worthy of contract extensions and making these guys long-term members of this franchise. That means we're not going to have a lot of money to spend in free agency next offseason, right? We're not going to be able to go out there and spend money on other people's players because we're investing that money into our own players. So now that makes draft picks that much more important for the Kansas City Chiefs because they're not going to be able to go out and spend in free agency. So they know the only way that they're going to acquire new players for the most part next offseason is through the draft. And so those picks now have become more valuable to the Chiefs, knowing that they're not going to have a lot of play money in free agency to go out there, which in turn makes Breece Hall. They wanted a premier pick, a top three round pick for Breece Hall. The Chiefs, based on the draft capital that they have, were not willing to give up a quote-unquote first-day pick, a premier draft pick, to go get Breece Hall, who was a rental.
All right. Really good stuff from Bob. I have two main takeaways in hearing that audio. The first thing is the Chiefs do not anticipate spending a lot of money in free agency on pass rush. If they are, again, going to prioritize their own players like they did this past offseason when they paid the offensive line and they also spent money in the linebacker room, they don't sound like their plan is we got to go get another pass rusher opposite George Karlaftis. At least that's not what I just heard in that clip right there. Now, obviously, things change, plans change, but that's not what I heard based on what Bob is reporting. The second thing is, I don't have a problem with that logic when it comes to Breece Hall. If you only see him as a rental piece and you do not have a long-term plan for Breece Hall, trading a top 100 selection for Breece Hall is not a good use of your resources to me. And what I don't want to be in a cycle of every trade deadline, thinking that the Chiefs should trade a third-round pick for something that they are missing. I don't think that is the best team building exercise. I don't think that every November the plan needs to be, Brett Veach, we need this one thing. You need to be willing to trade a top 100 pick to go get it. I would like to go into next year's draft class having that top 100 pick asset, and then you see what you do with it. Maybe in round one, you want to trade up to really go get somebody that you like. You can wheel and deal and maneuver. You can't wheel and deal and maneuver if you've already given up all your poker chips. So I don't mind that philosophy when it comes to Breece Hall. I would have done exactly what the Chiefs did. I wouldn't have traded a day two pick. It's now the second day. I wouldn't have traded a top 100 pick. I wouldn't have traded a third round pick for Breece Hall. I also wouldn't extend him this offseason if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. I would take that third round pick or better, because you can draft a running back in the second round too, and then I would just go find your running back for the future when you got a chance to start over. Everybody is on a one-year deal aside from Breshard Smith. Pacheco is a free agent at the end of this season. Elijah Mitchell is a free agent. Kareem Hunt is a free agent. Just start over. That's what I would do. That's number two. Number three, and lastly, I know that this puts me in the minority. I do not understand the rush to pay Rashee Rice. I don't get it. In year two, the offseason, he got into a serious off-the-field issue. In the middle of his second season, he had a significant leg injury that he is just now getting back from and just now getting on the field. You still have another year of club control with Rashee Rice. You still have the franchise tag available to negotiate if you really want to keep Rashee Rice on the team. I don't understand the urgency. When you now it's the first chance that you can pay him to throw in a bunch of money. I know we've had this talk before. I don't know why Rashee Rice would take less money. I don't know why at his age, if you think he's one of those guys, and I know the text line thinks he's one of those guys, I don't know why you're interested in a hometown discount if you're him. It just feels very, very premature to me to sign Rashee Rice. I just wouldn't do it. I'm not saying I would never sign Rashee Rice. I'm just not super interested in signing you to a long-term extension at the end of this upcoming season. Let's see how year four does. Do you stay healthy? Do you put up a big year? Do you stay out of trouble? How do you conduct yourself? How do you handle yourself? I would just see how year four goes, and then I would play it this way. The Chiefs are not 100% at extending guys early. They didn't do that with Chris Jones. They didn't do that with Trey Smith. So they didn't do that with Nick Bolton. We got plenty of examples that the Chiefs are willing to let contracts play themselves out, and then they agree at the end of them if they want to keep this player or not. I don't understand why there's such a rush to go sign Rashee Rice when he is two games coming off of a lengthy suspension and a very serious knee injury. Let's just play it out and see how the rest of this rookie contract goes.
I understand what you're saying, but This is not like early in my mind. This is the normal timeline for when you extend players. At the end of this season, going to the final year of your contract, you and I both know, guys who go into the final year of their contract, they get extended the offseason before that year. It's not like you play this out to the very last minute. One of the reasons why, at least for me, I was so hard with the Chiefs on Trey Smith is, and Nick Bolton, man, it feels like they played it out until the 11th hour. Well, in the 11th hour, you lose a lot of your negotiating power. This is kind of the norm in the league. You have 1 year left on your deal. Now it's extension time. Now, I agree with you. I wouldn't be...
I hear what you're saying, though. I do hear what you're saying. But we have to acknowledge that this is in a different case. Right now, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season. So that has to factor in. He hasn't had that big time season yet.
To be fair, he had 900 yards in his.
It ain't 1,000. Well, I'm sorry, fair. It's close. It ain't.
That's fair.
So he does not have a 1,000-yard season. He couldn't finish year two because of injury. He then couldn't start year three because of a suspension. I mean, I don't think he's getting 1,000 yards this season. If he does that, he has the greatest second half. He has a Cooper Kupp second half of the season if he gets there. So I hear what you're saying, but most of the time when we're having those conversations about paying guys, they got an all-pro under their belt. They got a couple of Pro Bowls under their belt. They got 1,100, 1,200 yards. They've put together one of those kind of seasons together, and then I'm happy to sit there and have the conversation with you. And maybe Rashee Rice gets there. Hey, year four, he plays in 17 games. He puts up 1,300 yards. He has 9 touchdowns, and then you're happy to pay him that money. Do you think that he's earned an extension based on what he's done on the field yet? Because I don't think he's earned an extension yet based on what he's done on the field.
No.
Not that kind of extension. I don't think he's earned the extension that we are talking about. I don't think he has earned an extension that will warrant him being one of the 10 highest paid receivers in the league, because that's what it would cost.
So it's a weird thing for me and Rashee Rice, because I, on the one hand, think if you're going to do it, now is the time to do it, just timeline wise. But I agree with you. I don't know I would do it based on what he's done on the field. And that's not to say he's not a good wide receiver. I think he is a good wide receiver. I just don't know he's worthy of a great contract. Now, if you believe he will play himself into that great contract, if you're Brett Veach and you're saying, hey, he was basically a 1,000-yard guy in year one. We think he was going to be a 1,000-yard guy in year two. He could have been. He had a great season in year three, but it was nixed by suspension. If we get a full season of him at his peak of his powers, he's a 1,000-yard guy, and we're paying for what we think he can be. I understand that logic, but I just, it is a little bit odd to me that you're paying for what you believe a player can do as opposed to what he has done, especially for a second contract. So I don't know I would pay him because you haven't seen the it, like the eye-popping accolades yet, but I think timeline-wise where me and you differ, if you're going to do it, you kind of have to do it now.
Yeah, and I guess maybe where I would kind of push back a little bit, because this is the thing, C-Dot, if you wait an extra year for Rashee Rice, it's going to cost you way more money. I mean, I guess, but I think we also have to be realistic about the range of the contract that we're talking about. I mean, right now, the ceiling is Ja'Marr Chase. There's nothing that can happen at the end of this season that would make me think he should make as much money as Ja'Marr Chase, who's making $40 million a year. Justin Jefferson's making $35 million. CeeDee Lamb. These guys have proven more. They are better receivers, in my opinion, than where he is. So if I had to say right now, the only deal I would even contemplate signing him to was Jameson Williams' contract. Jameson Williams makes $26 million a year. I would say that's a fair contract. Jameson Williams is probably not one of the top 10 receivers. He's probably not one of the top 15 receivers in the league, but he is a really good number two receiver who would be a number one on a lot of different teams. But then when you go up from there, I mean, there's a pretty big jump once you start getting there. Are you comfortable paying Rashee Rice what Garrett Wilson's contract is? Garrett Wilson's making $32 million a year. So if we're going to say it saves you money, what amount are we talking about? And if you are willing to roll the dice, like right now, if you're willing to sign him to Brandon Ayuk's contract, which is $30 million, I would say that that's what he's probably going to get next year if he ends up being really good anyway. Like the market for wide receiver is just kind of set at the top. So yeah, you save yourself a little bit of money, but I don't think you save yourself $20 or $30 million if you roll the dice for one extra year with Rashee Rice. I think you save yourself like maybe $8 to $12 million, which would be worth it to me to see him stay healthy, stay out of trouble, and put up one of those monster seasons.
I will say this, though. I think there's more at play than just his singular contract. I think there's a lot because, as Fesco pointed out in that cut, Trent McDuffie's contract is also coming. And yeah, me and you are, or at least I don't want to speak for you, I am 100% team re-sign Trent McDuffie.
You already know I'm on paid corner. You know that.
I felt like. So 1,000% we're on the same page there. His timeline is now similar, too. So it's not just, hey, we're going to pay the Jameson Williams contract or Rashee Rice. Look how much money we saved. If you get that contract done early, maybe that small amount of savings, which is something, that small amount of savings now can be put toward a Trent McDuffie deal, which we think is going to be the larger contract anyway that the Chiefs have to get done. So that savings isn't exactly, you know, lining the coffers. Maybe they're doing the savings because they have to spend it somewhere else because McDuffie is going to be more expensive.
Yeah, someone just says, C-Dot, what if the Chiefs give him a contract that's heavy with incentives? I just don't know why Rashee Rice would sign that kind of contract. That's just not what wide receivers are doing in the National Football League. Like, if I'm him, there's no chance I'm taking less than Jameson Williams' contract. Let me pull up Jameson's full what the extensions were. So Jameson Williams got 3 years, $83 million, and he got $67 million in guarantees. So if I'm Rashee Rice, why am I taking chances on what I can be? Give me the $60 million guaranteed. I think that's a fair contract for Rashee Rice. I'm not interested in paying him much more than that. Not right now. I think that's the maximum I would do for him is Jameson Williams' deal. If you look at Jameson Williams' first couple of seasons, you look at the numbers and the stats, I think they're fairly comparable. I think Rice is a better receiver than he is. I don't think it's a big, big difference between those two. That's a fair contract if he's willing to agree to that right now. I'm not willing to pay you much more than that because I also don't know if it's going to cost you a lot more than that if he's willing to roll the dice and if he's willing to play this out for a little bit longer.
I would sign him to Jameson Williams' contract. I also say, and this is kind of related to your point, one thing I think we always forget in these conversations is the agent and Rashee Rice have a feeling of what they're worth, and they're not going to take 80 cents on the dollar just for the 80 cents on the dollar. So it's possible in the negotiation, the Chiefs walk to Rashee Rice and they say, hey, here's the Jameson Williams contract, done, done, and done. And they say, no, We don't want that. We want Garrett Wilson's contract because we feel like we're more like Garrett Wilson. Then there is no savings to be had. Then it's just you're spending the premium. But I am always team get it done early versus get it done late, because when you're doing it late, you're negotiating against everyone at that point. Right now, you're only negotiating against yourself.
Someone on the text line asked this question. Rashee Rice is likely only to get one dynamic contract at his age. How do we know that he won't sit out? I don't think it makes any financial sense for Rashee Rice to sit out. He hasn't made real NFL money yet. And I'm just going to guess that some of that money, you spent a significant amount of it to get yourself out of the legal issue that you put yourself into. So how much cash flow are we talking about if you're Rashee Rice? You were a second round pick. It's not like we think endorsements are just coming in out of the wazoo for Rashee Rice. We think he got money to take a $30,000 a day hit to sit out of training camp? I don't think he has that kind of cash. I would call his bluff every single day if he's not here at work. No, we're not paying you yet. Come to work. That's what we're doing. Come to work is how we're going to handle this. So I just wouldn't do it. I would pay Trent McDuffie, and I would just see how it goes with Rashee Rice. I would just see how next year goes. Play out the rest of this year. Help us get back to another Super Bowl. Ball out in 2026, and we are happy to have this conversation at the end of the year and pay you appropriately to what you have done on the field. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue talking about the trade deadline in the National Football League. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to answer this text. I understand the principle of it. I think it's a little bit misguided in the conversation that we are having. So if you missed it, I'll play it for you one more time. Bob Fesco has a report on why the Chiefs didn't get Breece Hall. Here's the audio from Fesco.
So they kind of have on their ledger where they're going to be next year when it comes to the money that they're going to spend, including projected extensions for Trent McDuffie and Rashee Rice. And so they're looking at the number that they're going to have spent next year. They're looking at the money that is afforded to them by the owner. They're looking at money with the salary cap, and they're saying, okay, we're going to pay these two guys who are very, no pun intended, worthy of contract extensions and making these guys long-term members of this franchise. That means we're not going to have a lot of money to spend in free agency next offseason, right? We're not going to be able to go out there and spend money on other people's players because we're investing that money into our own players. So now that makes draft picks that much more important for the Kansas City Chiefs, because they're not going to be able to go out and spend in free agency. So they know the only way that they're going to acquire new players for the most part next offseason is through the draft. And so those picks now have become more valuable to the Chiefs, knowing that they're not going to have a lot of play money in free agency to go out there, which in turn makes Breece Hall, they wanted a premier pick, a top three round pick for Breece Hall. The Chiefs, based on the draft capital that they have, were not willing to give up a quote unquote first day pick, a premier draft pick, to go get Breece Hall, who was a rental.
So that was Fesco in his report. I like Rashee Rice. I think he is a very good wide receiver. I would just not be in a rush to pay him quite yet. I let him have a 1,000-yard season. I let him be an all pro. I let him be healthy. I would just, I, I, I just wouldn't, I wouldn't play it this way. A lot of people have been saying this, CDOT, you always pay for what you think they are going to do. Paying them for what they've done is stupid. That makes sense to me if we are talking about a third contract, but we're talking about the second contract. We're talking about the first time that you got to make a decision. Is this somebody that you want as a long-term option for your organization? Because right now you are getting a steal for Rashee Rice. I don't care what has happened off the field, how much they are paying Rashee Rice as opposed to the production they are currently getting from Rashee Rice, it is not close. They have him on a four-year, $6.4 million contract. He is making nothing by NFL standards right now. Nothing at this point. So you have the opportunity to burn all of that up, all of the rookie deal, and then you make a decision on if you want him. So it's always a balance between the two. You put up big-time numbers in your rookie season. We are rewarding you for how good you were under your rookie contract. And obviously, the expectation is that you'll continue to be a great player. When you paid Creed Humphrey the money, you were a great center. We expect you to continue to be a great center. When you paid Trey Smith, hey, we want to keep the best interior offensive lineman in the league. We expect that to continue. But right now, me advocating that they run out to pay a receiver who has never made a Pro Bowl, never been all pro, never had 1,000 yards, and now being like they should make him, they should run to make him a top 10 highest paid receiver in the league, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me yet. Let's let him earn the deal. Let's let him earn the deal. Ball out, put up a great season, and then we can go from there. That's how I would handle it if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to head to Indianapolis here coming up in just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball before we do that. Rob, have you seen this? Is it a survey that the Royals have? Is it a questionnaire? I don't know what it is, but the Royals have sent out some documents that they want season ticket holders and fans to fill out. Now, I think it gives us insight into a couple of different things. The first thing is it confirms what we already know. There's only three realistic locations for the Royals. There's three. It's 119th and all. It's downtown Kansas City. It's Clay County, North Kansas City. They are not going to the Legends. They are not staying where they're at. There are three possible locations for the Royals. We will figure out in the end where they end up going. And I also noticed something about this as I was reading through this thing. Everything about this for the last year and a half has been, why didn't you just do this from the beginning? Remember when the Royals were doing those town halls where they were going around the city to different places and they were sitting down at the library and talking to people and trying to, you know, educate and inform the community on this process, because that's very important. Rob, why didn't they have a questionnaire like that from the very, very beginning? Like, why didn't they have more of our input on where we want the stadium to be? It's like they just decided where the stadium was going to be and was like, here, even though we don't have all the plans completely figured out, you give us your money and then trust us that we'll figure it out. Why didn't they do some of this legwork from the very, very beginning? Hey, these are the four or five places that we're thinking about. Why don't we engage the community? Why don't we ask more questions? Why don't we get all of our ducks in a row and do the two-year work or three-year work on the front end? And then when we feel very strongly about it, then we'll come to the public with the vote. I feel like they wanted our money first, and then they were going to figure out all the particulars. And then the community pushed back and said, no, why don't you do the work and then come back to us? Now they're doing all the things that they should have done last year.
Listen, I'm not in the business of, you know, putting a cape on and defending the Royals. But is it possible one of the reasons they did the timeline this way is because before they went to the vote, they could only float Jackson County locations because they were up against a extension of a sales tax timeline. Now they have the whole city, the whole region at their disposal to do the research and now circle back to fans. Here's the three decisions. Like, they couldn't in 2024, like March, be like, hey, what do you guys think of 119th and all? Well, we don't think anything about it. We're paying a sales tax in Jackson County. So I think their original plan was, hey, we're going to get the sales tax extended and we're going to have the stadium in Jackson County. And then we're going to have a pretty good idea of location and we're just going to go from there. And now they're maybe being a little more diligent because they have a little more information. They have a little more, you know, area to choose from, where in the past it was, where in Jackson County do you want the stadium?
It feels to me like all of that hard work just should have been done from the very, very beginning. And I know that we have blamed a million different people for why the thing didn't fail. But I think the Royals are showing you, I don't think the Royals were ready to take our money last year. I just don't think they were ready to take our money. I know they were asking for it, and I wish we weren't going through this. I really don't. I want them to make a decision on where the stadium is going to be too. But, I mean, this thing failed in April of 2024, and now in November of 2025, now they're sending out a questionnaire on how we feel? You should have asked us this from the very, very beginning. I mean, I guess we told you how we feel. The answer was a resounding no. We don't like your original plan. Please try again. Now we'll see if the Royals try again. I mean, there are a couple of different options that they could potentially not have a vote. But if one of their plans is to put the stadium in North Kansas City, it would require a vote. So gathering information, figuring out what we feel, that just would have been a better plan from the very, very beginning. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Kevin Bowen. He's with 107.3 The Fan out in Indianapolis. The Colts right now, they have the best record in the AFC, and they just picked up Sauce Gardner via trade. Kevin, how you doing, my man?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. There has been a lot of questions around the league, certainly here in Kansas City. Are the Colts for real? You watch this team, you cover this team, you follow this team. Do you think the Colts are real?
Yeah, I think offensively it's pretty hard to argue against. I know they didn't come off a great performance by any means against Pittsburgh, but pretty historic the numbers they've put up so far this season. You know, I am curious in general about the second half of their season. The schedule is definitely tougher. You know, started with Pittsburgh last week. They'll have, you know, Kansas City coming out of the bye here in a few weeks. They go to Seattle. So, you know, those are some, you know, teams, venues that are just different than what they've faced so far. So that's an element. Obviously, the Gardner trade, their pass defense to me wasn't at a January level. The thought there is, you know, certainly you get one of the elite corners in the league and, you know, it'll aid your pass rush a little bit. So that was, you know, quite the swing. And, you know, right now when you view an AFC where potentially some people think the door's cracked, is this your time to try and take advantage of that? So they definitely been one of the surprise teams so far. Again, offensively pretty historic and quite the swing yesterday from a trade standpoint.
So let's talk about the trade from two different perspectives, because I think there's multiple ways of looking at it. The first way of looking at it is I think the Colts are telling you who their at least long-term plan is at quarterback. If you trade both of your first round picks, you think you have your quarterback on your roster. Like, you think Daniel Jones is the answer. Do you think that's the right play? Do you think the Colts should be committing this early, this soon to Daniel Jones, at least for the next 18 months?
Yeah, correct. I guess to start there. Yes. I think this move definitely indicates that they think Daniel Jones is their future. Yeah. To me, it's a little dangerous game to play, you know, 2 months into an era, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's kind of crazy how 2 months ago, I think the general thought was, you know, Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen were on hot seats and, you know, Anthony Richardson would have one more year to play it out and then that's it. And now all of a sudden it's like, wait, should you build the Daniel Jones statue next to Peyton Manning or on the other side of Lucas Oil Stadium? That's just kind of how fans react here. So, you know, in an ideal world, I think you probably wouldn't be giving up your next two first-round picks. But, you know, when premium position players at the age of 25 become available and, you know, again, you feel like the door might be a little cracked, and obviously any sort of AFC run you get on, you're going to have to go through quarterbacks that, you know, obviously have the names of Mahomes and Allen and Herbert and those sorts of guys. You know, Drake May maybe is starting to become one of those guys. You're going to need to be better at that position. So, you know, there are some elements to this that I don't think it's 2022 Daniel Jones when he did this with New York. You know, that was a heavy kind of run Daniel Jones. He was really kind of a dual threat guy. And for the most part, he's been really just delivering from the pocket. But, yeah, there is, you know, a little pause I have. But, you know, the nature of the quarterback game is, you know, when you think you even have maybe the guy and he's in the last year of his contract, if you don't spend on him, somebody will. And you certainly know if Daniel Jones hit the open market next year, there'd be quite the suitors for him.
It's really an interesting dynamic that the Colts have because they have a new owner that is really trying to be hands-on, and I really appreciate what she's done so far. The press conferences on the sideline, like, you can tell that she is trying to learn as much about this process as she can. You then couple that with everybody wants to leave their own mark. Everybody wants to leave their thumbprints on something now that you own the team. And you also got a general manager where if you look at football right now, you are just one cold streak away from everybody saying that you should be fired. When you get both of those things together, you get a big aggressive move. And that's what the Colts did going to go get Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, and I think so much of this has to do with their position right now within the AFC of, you know, Chris Bauer, their GM, has now been there for 9 years, you know, came over from Kansas City, and, you know, they had made one in-season trade in its first 8 years, and if you looked at their records at the deadline, they never sniffed this. You know, more often than not, they were looking up at the lowliest division in the AFC, in the AFC South, whereas now you're 7-2, again, from a you know, point differential. Really, it's been historic what they have done so far. That's a time where you become a big-time buyer. And, you know, I don't even really think Sauce Gardner was a name floated around from a trade deadline standpoint. But when you throw in two first-round picks, you know, A.D. Mitchell was a second-round wideout from last year. That's going to get guys to maybe call you back or, you know, hang on the line a little bit longer here. And you caught the Jets at the right time, too, clearly, with their fire sale. So you add all that up, and, you know, to steal a phrase from Jim Irsay, you know, all chips are in, really, and now we'll see it plays out. You know, typically there is a stepping stone to playoff success, and if you look at the AFC, obviously, we've had the same Final Four teams each of the last 2 years, and we'll see if the Colts are positioned this year to, you know, be one of those Final Four this year.
And that's the other side of this. Right now we're talking to Kevin Bowen with 103.7 The Fan in Indianapolis. The Colts make the trade to go out and get Sauce Gardner. I think if you're the Colts, it is understandable why you would be aggressive. The Chiefs, at least so far through the first 9 games, don't look like the same dominant team that they've been over the last handful of years. Baltimore right now sits at 3-5. You don't have to worry about going through Joe Burrow, and it feels like this is a little bit of a different AFC, where I think the Colts are looking at it where, what if there is a chance that we only have to play Buffalo or Kansas City and we could have one of those teams at home? Like, if we play the 4 seed and then we play one of those two teams at home, you got to feel good about your chances at home in the AFC championship in what likely would be a coin flip kind of game. So we're going to push our chips in the middle of the table to try to find somebody who could potentially neutralize Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. I maybe think that the Colts gave up too much to go get Sauce Gardner, but I certainly understand the logic and the intention behind going to get him.
Yeah, and honestly, I can see it from really both franchises. It was one of those rare occurrences yesterday, which, you know, be careful what you are, you know, scrolling through on social media. But, like, it seemed like both franchises felt pretty good about what their teams did. And, you know, the Jets obviously are in a clear rebuild, whereas the Colts, and you just laid out the AFC, they look at it and think, well, with only one bye, if you can get that one bye and then, you know, again, get guys, you know, to come to your dome to try and make it to the Super Bowl, maybe it will be different. Now, you know, I've lived this NFL world just like anyone else has lived the NFL world over the last handful of years. Getting through Allen and Mahomes sounds good on paper, but, you know, actually doing it when the playoffs arise is a whole different animal. And, you know, playoff success for this franchise has been lacking. For those that haven't been totally plugged into the Colts, they haven't won a division title in 10 years, which is kind of crazy when you think about the AFC South as a whole. They've won one playoff game in that time frame. And they're currently in a 4-year playoff drought, which is, you know, one of the longest in the NFL with, you know, playoff expansion happening, that typically teams don't go this long without a playoff appearance there. So I think when you add all of that up, yes, there's a natural sense of urgency. And then you couple it with, wait a minute, 7-2. Again, maybe the door is cracked a little bit to where, you know, Mahomes and Allen might be playing on the road in the wild card round, which is not something we've you know, had. You know, maybe this is the opportunity where all the dominoes align to kind of go ahead and try to make this move.
I was really clamoring for Jonathan Taylor to get some MVP buzz in consideration. I hate the fact that we have just determined that only quarterbacks can win the award, but man, you can't go 14 carries for 45 yards and don't score a touchdown against the Steelers defense. And then I can't come on here and argue that he should be the MVP right now.
Yeah, definitely was a step back in that hype, you know, after so much of it leading into the game. You know, it's funny, we've obviously had this debate in our market recently, and obviously there's a huge quarterback bias to the award. You know, we had a listener reach out and say, instead of MVP, it should be MOP. You know, because if you just literally went off the acronym MVP, well, then a quarterback's going to win it every time. You know, I'd say this about virtually any NFL team. If I told you, and you have the Jonathan Taylor equivalent at running back, you'd rather take your chances with your second-string running back in a game versus your second-string quarterback in a game. That's just the value of that position. But if you went most outstanding player, now maybe we get Travis Hunter winning the Heisman, or we get Derrick Henry, you know, getting some votes recently. I mean, it's wild to think, you know, we've had Triple Crown winners. We've had Ja'Marr Chase. We've had Cooper Kupp. And yet you've got to go back all the way to, you know, 2017 with Todd Gurley for the last time we've seen a running back get a vote you know, not win the award, that's Adrian Peterson in 2012, just get a vote. Again, you got to go all the way back to Gurley, you know, almost a decade ago. So, you know, to me, when you look at the Colts, yes, is Taylor the, you know, most valuable player on the Colts? No, I mean, it is probably Jones. But when you talk about the best player so far this season, yes, I do think it is the running back.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. I'm not sure if gambling is legal in Indiana or not, but right now on FanDuel, you can get the Colts to be the one seed in the AFC at plus 340. If I gave you a free $100 bet, do you think the Colts will be the one seed in the AFC?
Ooh, that is a good one. It is legal, by the way. I'm going to say no. If I had to pair up their schedule next to New England's the rest of the way, I want to say New England's a little bit tamer. Again, they still have to go Atlanta and Berlin coming up on Sunday. Then their bye week at Kansas City, at Jacksonville. They still have Houston twice. They still have San Francisco. They go to Seattle. So I'm going to say New England's got a little bit of the easier schedule the rest of the way. I think the AFC West will beat each other up too much. So I'll say the Patriots are the onesie, which was a crazy thought 2 months ago as well.
Well, you can get the Patriots right now plus 500. Buffalo, they are the favorite at plus 140 to be the one seed in the AFC. That is Kevin Bowen joining us on the show with 107.3 The Fan in Indianapolis. Kevin, we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks whenever Indianapolis comes to town, comes to Arrowhead.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely, man. That is Kevin Bowen joining us on the show. Rob, I know we don't have a lot of time. If the Colts are not the one seed in the AFC, we don't have to take them seriously. This Colts team needs to play fewer playoff games than everybody else. They also need all home games. That's the only way I can take them seriously. I'm just not, if you're telling me you're picking the Colts potentially on the road at Buffalo or Kansas City in the postseason, absolutely not. There is no chance I'm taking them in that scenario. So this Colts team, if they want to be taken seriously as contenders, they better be the one seed in the AFC. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. I want to tell you guys a story and give you an update on something that is happening in my life. I feel like it is time for me to have some home ownership. I've been paying rent this whole time. I'm getting a little older. I'm getting closer to 40. I need more space. I need another bedroom. It is just time for me to leave my first apartment. So, Rob, you know, after the show, I've been looking around. I've been on the Zillow. Remember, I told you that guy tried to finesse me and tried to get me to sign up with his little realty company when I had never met the man before, and I said no. So, one of my really close friends, she's a realtor, so her and I have been going around and visiting these places. So, Rob, I thought I found the place that I was looking for. I thought I was done. And you know what happened? I went on Google and I read the reviews. And let me tell you, Rob, the reviews of the building, it was not positive. It was not something I was excited about. And then my friend, she called like her other realtor friend and was like, oh, well, I know somebody that owned a condo in there, so I want you to talk to him. It was the most negative Yelp review I've ever heard in my entire life. So now I'm back at square one. I remember I told you a couple days ago, I thought I had found it. I was already looking up stuff and all. I was excited about this process. Now I don't need to be excited. So one of my close friends, her name is Shannon, we have been going through and looking at other ones and like which ones I can afford and which ones I can't afford. So Rob, let me tell you, I saw this one yesterday. I went to go tour it. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And then I saw how much it was. And you told me not to go. You told me not to visit this place and not to see it for the reason I feel now. I probably can't afford this thing, but God, I want it. And then I was talking to my financial guy and he's like, I mean, you could, but he was like, I don't want you to be house poor. I just keep hearing this term. Why don't people want me to live my best life? I finally found the one. This whole time I've been looking and touring and going all around the city and places I think I want to live. And then I finally find the one, Rob, and nobody wants to encourage me. Nobody wants to help me out. I need positivity. I need encouragement. Rob, you didn't give me any encouragement when I told you this story earlier today. I got no encouragement from you. Why do you not want me to be happy?
I did not give you encouragement. I told you the truth. You should have never looked at that place. You got to stay in your lane. If you are a person who can only afford to live in a certain part of town, don't wander around Holbrook. Ooh, these houses look nice. That's a mistake.
I looked at the Holbrook condo, so I looked at it yesterday. Everyone, I was sitting there looking around. I was blown away at what I was doing. I was blown away by what I was looking at. And I was like,
looked.
This is it.
I
have fallen in love with the place in my own mind. And now I'm sitting there talking like, can we move this around? I mean, I know deep down I can't, but I want somebody to tell me yes when all I've gotten for the last 12 hours have been a series of no's. That's not what I want.
I mean, I
want you to be my friend and tell me yes.
I want you to have that place. I also don't want you to take the bus to work every day.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't want you to call the mayor and be like, hey, can you take the streetcar from my new condo to my work? Because I can't afford anywhere else to get there.
No, that's fair. No, I hear what you're saying. Someone says, CDOT, if you're willing to move to Kansas, I'm telling you right now, I have less than a 0% desire of living in the state of Kansas. 0%. There is no chance. None. There is no chance that I will be living in the state of Kansas. None. I'd rather just stay where I'm at. I'm cool. I'm all right. Y'all got it over there. Rob, you like living over there?
I'm a huge fan of
Kansas. What would get you to live in Missouri?
I don't know there would be anything moving to the Missouri side. I'm happy with where I'm at. It's also something where my wife's work, it's easier to live on the Kansas side. So, yeah, I'm pretty much going to be a Kansan through and through.
I could probably afford this place. I got to start charging more for commercials. That's what I got to start doing. I got to start telling FanDuel I got a new rate. That's what I got to start telling FanDuel. The other place, hey, this ain't working out. I got to go to the other place. That's what I got to start doing, Rob.
You should do that, and then I'll swim in your wake. My rate is his old rate.
Yeah, no, that's nasty work. I can't believe
out there.
You would do that.
Listen, Gates. He's crazy for going this new number.
That's
my
crazy.
Number is this number, and you know I love barbecue.
I can't believe you would do that, man. We supposed to be boys. I can't believe you would do that. So the trade deadline is come and gone. This is it. This is the team. This is the one that the Chiefs have. Coming up at the top of the hour, I'm going to ask you guys this question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Chiefs not winning their division? Because you remember, Brad called the show yesterday and said, I don't understand this Chiefs panic. The Chiefs are 5-4 right now. So far through the first 10 weeks of the season, they have played like the third best team in their division. Now, they play 3 games against the teams that are ahead of them, so you can very easily make this ground up. On a scale from 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Chiefs not winning the AFC West and going on the road for the entire NFL playoffs? We've also been talking about Breece Hall, who had a chance of playing for the Chiefs, but he still plays for the Jets.
With Breece Hall, there was an offer on the table for a 4th-round pick from Breece Hall. I was told that it was from the Kansas City Chiefs that were willing to trade for Breece Hall. The Jets were steadfast in wanting a 3rd. So they wanted a 3rd-round pick for Breece Hall. They were not able to get one, only had a 4th-round offer.
So that was Connor Hughes. He covers the New York Jets, and he said that the Chiefs offered up a fourth-round pick for Breece Hall. Rob, are you more surprised that the Chiefs offered up a fourth-round pick for Breece Hall, or that the Jets didn't have an interest in taking a fourth-round pick for Breece Hall? Because there is a small part of me that is a little bit surprised that the Chiefs, for the first time in 2025, were willing to admit that there was a problem at running back. They have not been willing to admit there was a problem the entire year at running back. They have not been willing to admit that. But them willing to make a trade for Breece Hall is telling you, we think it's a talent issue. We don't think it's an offensive line issue. We think we don't have the guy. And going to get Breece Hall means you have the guy. That would have meant no more Isaiah Pacheco and no more Breshard Smith than trying to give him carries. We got Breece Hall and we got Kareem Hunt as our short yardage back, and that's the plan moving forward. So there is a part of me that is surprised they at least were very interested in trying to improve the running back room, because they have not shown that. They haven't shown that in any of the 11th months in 2025.
I'm far more surprised the Jets said no than I am the Chiefs offered a fourth. Come here, the Chiefs have a bonus fourth as part of the Joe Tooney deal. So I understand why the Chiefs felt, we have a surplus of fourths, have one, we'll take Breece Hall. I'm surprised the Jets said it's third or nothing, because it might be literally nothing for the Jets in 3 months.
Yeah, let's talk about this more on the other side, and I want to continue to ask this question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Chiefs not winning the AFC West? It is a legitimate question on whether or not they are going to represent the AFC West in the postseason. We'll get to that. We'll also continue this conversation about Breece Hall, because I am a little bit surprised that the Chiefs were finally ready to admit that they have a problem in the running back room, because they just haven't been willing to have that conversation yet this season. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.